Sunday! Every Sunday, side by side at the microphone, from the green light to the speed trap, Ray Guarino and Jody calls them as they seize them, and you better believe them. Hear relevant news, biased opinion, and outright nonsense regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! It's mechanical trickery never before broadcast over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrilled to the explosive tension as Ray and Joe cuss each other down track, barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disaster as they shake hands with the devil. All that and so much more at high noon this Sunday on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and the Live Eat, Ray Guarino and Joe D. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free every Sunday at noon on WHBC. Take the Hempstead Turnpike to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway sign. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass. Even!
Good Sunday afternoon. You have tuned into Motormouth Radio, Long Island's only automotive talk show, with your hosts, Ray Guarino, Chris Switzer, special guest this week, Pirate Paul. How you doing, Paul? Chris?
What's up? How was the week? What's going on? Everybody survive?
Oh, let me tell you. Let me make a few quick announcements first, because we have a very prestigious show today. Not only are we still all working from the confines of our bunkers where we're safe and sound, but we're going to take some phone calls today. I think we can do this.
Yeah.
And the number to call is 516-256-9510. Again, 516-256-9510.
Write it down. Write it down.
Write it on the wall, because this should...
Write it down.
We did do a test before the show, and it worked, so of course now it won't, but...
There's the optimistic view right there. Very good, right?
But then we won't be... Well, it wouldn't be Motormouth Radio if things didn't break, burn, fall apart, or...
This is true.
No faith.
No, but you know what? Right, we have Paul on the board. Of course, you know, this was a conglomerative meeting between... the three of us, and then our other tech guy, Jim, who fleshed this out this morning. We got it working, so it's we'll see.
Hey, I thought this up in the shower.
You did, and you know, Chris, like you and I spoke about many times through the years. You know, people, we would say, well, what are we going to talk about on the show? I don't know. But taking a shower that morning, you'd get an idea, or you get like an open for the show. It's like
totally.
Yeah, oh, so we talk about taking showers.
Right. There you go.
It's just tough to write the notes down. But yeah, that's pretty much where we're at. A lot of times it was me driving to the station. That's where I would get most of my inspiration. Usually it was on the road.
Right.
You knew I got my inspiration on the road when I started off the show with, did you see what that bonehead did? That guy, that dirty old YI Auto, if I had a rock, I would have. That's
exactly
usually what I would have done.
Just so you know, guys, this is a little off. We're doing a little programming off that the listeners can't understand. The screen I just shared is basically the screen I see for the air. So that's mm-hmm. that's when we were talking about that, Paul. That's mm-hmm. that's what it is.
Yeah.
Nice.
I'll take that back. And go
okay.
Back.
I have to early on. I have to give a shout out to my friend Vic. He's listening. So Vic with the 32 Ford. He's been a major help in getting the new shop together.
Nice. And yeah, he's called the show in the past before. We've spoken mm-hmm. to him years
yeah,
ago.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I promised to give him a shout out. So
he was doing some work on that 32 recently, right?
Yeah. I actually did a timing chain cover.
Okay.
Water pump, all that fun stuff.
Right, right.
Paul, tell us a little bit about the shop. What was the inspiration? What happened? What did you drop on your head that you went, I don't have enough room. I got to get more room. What did you do?
Yeah. I was sick and tired of not having enough room. Uh-huh. So. Yeah, and I was like, I have to do something. It was either move or build a new garage. So,
right.
Don't laugh. I should have moved.
That's the truth. No, I'm still doing the shimmy between two cars, mm-hmm. the two cars in the two car garage.
Right.
Because there's a bench on one side, there's shelving on the other side. So mm-hmm. the cars are literally rear view, side view mirror to side view mirror. I mean, that's how, and to try and get between them half the time, and I'm just envious. Nothing
right,
but envious.
Right. Well, this is about two and a half cars wide, but it's extra deep. It's extra deep. You know, I wanted the room in the front, stuff. I wanted a nice work area, you know, because I got other things, you know, got bikes and toys and things, and you got to have a place for that stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, definitely wanted a room. Yeah, to my wife's dismay, because I stole somebody's yard.
Well, that's okay. There's still a certain hat in the works that is going to have to be eaten at some point.
Yes, yes, you remember that. Yeah.
Yes, well, I don't forget.
What happened? What happened?
My wife said that if I ever finish a GTX, she's going to eat her hat. I'm going to buy her a sombrero and a bottle of hot sauce.
But wait a minute. You've had the GTX now how long?
Too long.
Too long.
I'm embarrassed to say how long.
Because I have a clip of you saying that we didn't believe that Ray had a GTO.
Right.
That was the going yes. gag, right?
Right. Right. Because it was in his garage so long, yes.
I remembered that one too. And now you were ahead of me for a while, and now I've gotten ahead of you. So
yes, you did.
You know what? Hey, listen, in the game of cars, it's just like Chassis John will always say. It doesn't matter who wins, it just matters that you're around to finish the game.
You know? Right. Well, that's the thing. I want to get this thing done before it turns into a tribute car.
Right.
Yeah. This is exactly how he would have wanted it.
Yeah. You got that right.
Right. You don't want in memory of Paul written on the trunk of it.
Yeah, or on a glove box, you know? Right. Plaque.
So, you know, guys, let me mention, just back up for a second, mention to people that they can follow us. They can't, I mean, we're at so many different locations now, but people should, you know, follow our platforms on, of course, on Facebook, Twitter, and what's the other one? Facebook, Twitter, and blah, Motormouth Radio. And on Instagram, it's real_MotormouthRadio. But we also we're trying to launch our YouTube channel, which is Motormouth Videos on YouTube. And that's how people can find us during the week and get, you know, see all the stuff that we do. And yeah, you know, I've been trying to put some stuff up recently. I've been working at the shop, working on Mike's car, and you know, my car's in the process right now. It's in the paint process. So we'll have more stuff up as it goes, but yeah, follow us on those platforms. And if you want to be in on this live today, you can try, you can be the first and call us at 516-256-9510.
What was that number again, Ray?
516-256-9510.
Write it down.
Yes. I see we got John, Chassis John, in the house. What's happening, John?
What's up, John?
It's hot and humid.
Oh, I'm envious.
That's because you're in Florida.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah, nice. But it's like it's overtly humid today for some reason.
Oh, I love it.
It's just weird.
Yeah. That's my world, John. That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for that 90 degrees and sopping wet and just running engines in a garage.
No, we closed the borders. You can't come.
Right.
We're done. We don't want anyone from the Northeast anymore. I'm one of the last ones in, so.
Yeah, Chris is in Iguana.
You're not a native. Wait, let me just listen to you for a second. Yeah, nah, he's not a native.
No, everybody thinks I sound like Tony Soprano.
It's like everybody we know from up here. That's all.
Exactly. No, that's for sure. Well, around me, they still talk like this. Lovey, what are we doing with the Mercedes?
Oh.
Yeah, they still do a lot of that up here. Which
do
is
they nice. Listen to Sirius XM Yacht Rock Radio?
Oh, Yacht Rock.
Yeah. Yes, play a little bit more of that Fats Domino. It's so nice. Yeah, that's what goes on up here. In the Constitution State. But anyway, I digress. But I have to tell you a little bit of COVID-19 news for you all. I found the winner on the road. Found the winner. Guy in a construction van is driving along. He stops at a light. I pull up next to him. I look at him. He looks at me with his gloves on. He decides to reach in his pocket, pull out a pack of cigarettes, takes the cigarette out with his glove on. And where does he put the cigarette? In his mouth.
Okay.
Brilliant individual. It was like,
where else is he going to put it?
Well, take your glove off, for crying out loud. No, you don't know what was on the glove.
You know, let me tell you something. It's the same thing. I saw a guy in the supermarket a couple weeks ago. masked and gloved, and he comes in, and they supplied wipes, sanitary wipes. So he takes a wipe. He wipes down the crossbar of the shopping cart, really wipes down his gloved hands, you know, and then throws the wipe away and grabs the cart. I'm like, you're wearing gloves, idiot. Like, what the hell are you wiping? What the gloves are for?
It's just one more thing you have to wipe down. Take the gloves off. Wash your hands. Makes me crazy.
Yeah, funny stuff.
Makes me berserk. But I tell you, this week, I was able to actually do something on a vehicle, believe it or not, and it wasn't applying a emblem to a trunk lid. Okay. I did a full brake job on the Explorer, on the Explorer utility, and when I tell you, every single wheel fought me. There was something that fought me every single wheel. Uh-huh. And the worst is setting those calipers, those rear calipers, and setting the piston back, because you need the special brake tool and you have to turn it.
Right.
And oh my gosh, what a pain in the butt that was. And I was drilling a hole in my hand with the little vice like tool.
We have a caller on the line and I know who it is.
You do.
Yes. The big man.
Why?
As soon as Paul is now our Lily Tomlin in charge. So as soon as he can get this done, we'll
Paul is guest/producer.
We'll enjoy our first phone call here, John. This phone. If you thought that the video, the connection for the show was surreptitious, the phone route is unbelievable. How we're transferring numbers between, you know, one entity to another to another house. Changing aliases, going through Paul's board. It's
unbelievable. It's turned into hieroglyphics and turned back into electronic media. It's awful.
Yeah, but you're getting it done, though.
All right. Yes. All right. We have a caller on the line. Hello, caller. You're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hello, Professor Ray. This is Howie. How are you?
It's the big man.
What's up, Howie?
What's up, Cheesecake? How are you?
I'm doing fine. I'm good, man. I'm just working my butt off, but working some long hours at work. So I'm one of the lucky ones working.
Right. But you're in a hospital, so we don't, you know.
So, Howie, you all dressed up? You got your basic astronaut uniform on and your COVID-19 mask and you're going
PPE.
PPE, right. You have your PPE covered? Nice.
I have it all covered, man. You know, you got to realize this, Christopher.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Ray, this is war with an invisible enemy.
And I can just hear the determination in your voice.
Well, exactly. I was talking to my brother Craig, and I told him all of us got to step up and do our part, you know, to make it better.
Very good. I'm so glad. When we're behind you, you know that.
Yeah. I appreciate that.
As long as you get your PPE covered, we're good. We're good.
Oh man, I'm wearing. You know, at the beginning of this, man, I think I was, you know, with some, you know, really sick patients. I think I was doing double gloves, a double mask.
You are a crazy man.
That's true. You know, we don't want to get sick. We don't want to make anybody else sick. But we're doing our part. I'm doing, you know, I'm working in the hospital, working in the office, and I'm doing the MRI. I'm in radiology.
You're a true double glover. I like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, Howie, you do now have the distinction of being the first virtual phone caller, I guess we could call it, right? I mean, what else would you call it?
Amazing.
We'll get you some kind of a prize. I don't know. It'll probably be like a piece of old birthday cake or something, but we'll find something.
I say, you still, of all things, you get accolades from your peers, Howie. That's what you get, accolades from your peers.
I appreciate that, man. I went to OBI and I went to Captree today.
Okay. How was that? How was the crowd?
It wasn't too crowded in OBI. It was very light there, and I went first to Captree, and I wasn't allowed in, you know, maybe because there was a dozen cars there. Right. So I went over to OBI, sat down with some friends of mine, you know, John and Chris, that he has a 73, or can we say, Javelin.
Uh-huh.
And I would say it would be a 1990 Bronco, like, two. And I brought my, you know, my tribute to my dad, my 94 Oldsmobile Cutlass Supreme convertible. I brought that out. And I did go topless, by the way.
Ah, nice.
You know, it was there for a few minutes. I was in a few minutes, basically 15 minutes in OBI, and then we were kicked out. So,
okay. You and your top.
I just wanted to take a drive.
Very good.
Good man.
You know,
air out the gloves. I like that. That's good stuff.
I had gloves, man. I had an N95 mask on, man, and just doing what we can do. You know? We all got to be careful. We all should be wearing masks and gloves when we go outside, when we go food shopping, you know, and just be careful. You know, it's not a religious experience that you have the mask on, the gloves on, and it's going to save you. It's going to remind you to be careful.
Hmm. Well, thank you. That's an important safety tip. Don't put the mask over your eyes. We're still trying to keep it down low.
Well, cover your nose. Don't put it down to right. talk. And don't touch your face and your hair with the
right.
gloves on. And also eat. You know, I see people eat with the gloves on.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sure the gloves don't taste very good.
No.
That's probably true, man.
All right.
Howie, wants to hear from you, Chris.
Thanks for being our first caller, Howie.
Yes, it's, Howie, thank you.
We're going to put it down in the logbook.
Joey D, and it was nice talking with him.
Oh, good. Yes. Good. Yeah. Excellent. Very good, Howie.
Everyone, be well, be safe, and we hope to go back to normal soon.
Yes.
You got it, Howie.
Amen.
All right.
Be well, everybody.
All right, Howie. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, so Howie.
Bye-bye.
All right.
Knowing you're out there, we got a chance.
All righty.
Give out that number again, Ray.
The number
it worked.
If you want to be like Howie, is 516-256-9510. And you can get in on this fun, too. So
that's right. Write it down.
You can ask why Paul sounds so vibrato, why John is sweating so much.
Paul sounds so
Yeah.
I took my Nugenics this morning.
There you go.
Yum.
That works.
Oh, I took my Nugenics.
Hopefully you didn't have the glove on when you did that.
She likes it, too.
That's
it. There you go.
So anyway, just as a bit of information for you guys.
I got a perfect picture painted in my mind now.
No, please.
Tell us, Paul. I got to know. Tell me what's going on with the GTX. How far along are you? Please tell me.
I'm at the point where I have to just basically do finished body work, you know, on the body itself. I want to try – what I'm going to do is once I get it back into the garage after all the work is done, it's outside under a cover.
Right.
Once I get it back in, I really want to, you know, finish the engine compartment and get the engine tray back in the car.
Okay.
So at least, you know. Well, this way I want to get all that in before I actually do any paint or anything on the, you know, on the body.
Yeah, I never understood the sequence of order. Like, do you get it running and driving, then do the body work, or do you do the body work, keep pushing it around, and once the body work is all done, then do you drop the motor in? That's always been like a point of contention. What's the method of doing it the way you're doing it?
You know, I'll tell you guys something. That's a good question, because in the shop right now, you have my car sitting there that's been built and driven and completed mechanically but not painted. And Mike's car that just came out of the paint booth, which is painted and nothing else is completed.
Right.
And I said to him, I'd rather work on mine. Now I got to work on his with this fresh paint. I'm like, oh, my.
Exactly. Lord.
But, you know, guys usually send the car through paint first and then do all the other stuff. And I always thought it would be smarter to do it the other way.
Right. Well, with my luck, you know, if I paint the car first, I'm going to, you know, swing the engine in and hit something and drop it on something. And I figure this way, I'll do the engine compartment, get it painted, get that all done, and at least get the engine. Doesn't even have to be perfectly running. It's just I want the engine in the car.
Yeah.
Okay. Know?
It frees up floor space.
That's what I thought. You know, I mean, dust aside, you know, in 2 days, the car looks like it was under like Mount Montezuma after it collapsed. Body shops are unbelievable. I mean, I come home and I'm just, you can't even tell what color my shoes are.
Yeah. Right.
And there's no bodywork being done. You know, it's like perfect. You're just working in a shop that bodywork is done in. It's ridiculous. Right.
But that's my point. I'm trying to align the passenger door on the Chrysler because it sunk a little bit, and now that it's aligned with the striker up against the body, I now have to go right to the hinges, and set those. And of course, the second the wrench hits the finish, I knock a chunk out of the paint. I'm like, perfect. I mean, I just one. The wrench was on the nut. I loosened it and bunk, I hit the fender and took a chunk out of it. And I'm like, what the? Yeah.
It's like, always away.
And it's a Chrysler, which means the door's never aligned right anyway. So
nothing on this car is aligned. I swear to God, right. Nothing is aligned on this car. I aligned the trunk last week when I did the emblem. And I was like, oh, wow, this is wonderful. Now I'm going around the car. Now I'm doing the passenger door. Got to do the hood because the hood hinges have it sticking up in the corners. Because the hood was only up for 30 years.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So now when you close it, the right where the right at the cowl, the both ends go up. So you got to go around, push those down on either side.
You know,
nothing's right.
What year is this car?
69. Yeah.
Same year as yours, Paul, right? That's, yeah. I'll give you another one. Mike and I were looking at his Chevelle, and he's got to put the hood pins in. But we're looking. And the holes are in the hood. The hood was bought that way. But the cowl, the radiator support, we're looking like, hey, you know what? How come the holes aren't lining up for the hood pins on the core support? We realized that we have another coil is what we have. Mm-hmm. But again, it's an aftermarket part. The core support, and he got stuff from Ground Up, which is a very good company.
Right.
But he's got to drill holes and make stuff fit because it just isn't, you know. It isn't.
Yeah. So. Well, the hood's already been painted, so this is a moot point, but I probably would have filled in the holes on the hood.
And, oh, yeah, already done.
And not put the hood pins on.
No, he wanted to. You know, on the Chevelle SS, that was one of the defining factors of the front of that car was they came with hood pins.
They did. Okay.
Yeah.
Because I'm always afraid of the steel wire.
Okay.
It's just,
I know.
You're looking for trouble.
All right. Well, we have a call on the line. We have Vic on the line. Vic, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hey, Vic.
Good afternoon, Motor Mouse. How are you today?
Oh, different Vic. Oh, you're the Paul's Vic. Okay. I was expecting our other Vic. What's happening, Vic?
How are you? How
you guys doing today?
Very doing good. How are you doing?
Good, thank you. We're going to change Paul's name.
To what?
It's not going to be Pirate Paul no more.
Yeah?
It's going to be Project Paul. The Project man has more projects. Then you could shake a stick at.
Oh, well, he always has. I mean, you know.
Makes me a real car guy.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. No, but listen, like all of us, there's house projects, there's car projects, there's like kids' projects. You had everything. Wife projects. You know, it's all there.
Mm-hmm.
He just don't know how to privatize his project.
Prioritize my project.
Garage comes first, then the cars.
Yes. Well, I'm not working on any cars right now. I'm trying to get the garage done.
Right.
Paul privatizes his projects when he closes the garage door.
Pretty much.
Exactly.
Pretty much. Nick, why don't you give him a little rundown on what we did on your car?
Well, we had an ongoing antifreeze leak which could never be found.
Vic, what kind of car? What are we talking about here?
32 Ford sedan, nice. Small block Ford.
Okay. Very cool. 302
crate motor from Ford.
Nice.
And we had an antifreeze leak that we couldn't find.
Right.
But we ended up pulling the timing case cover off for the second time. And I think we finally nailed it down.
What was it?
Must have been technically, I'm going to go with probably a gasket.
All right.
But
yeah, it was hard to make a real determination on it, you know, with the way everything was in there.
Yeah, especially if you change a gasket and the leak stops, it's a gasket.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's
we changed that. We changed the little bypass hose because there was some crud around that. So
yeah. I remember you sending me some pictures, Paul, and there was a little bit. I remember now there was a little bit of contention. Something I picked out that I mentioned to you, and that was a bone of contention. What was that? There was something that looked that was odd or off. What the hell was that?
Do not recall.
I don't remember either. Okay, well, as long as it's fixed, that's the big thing because, you know, leaks. Or maybe it was the way it was when the car was built. It was a question about. Maybe, components or whatever. But, well, that's good.
This doesn't sound like a recent build. This sounds like something was built a while ago. When you start talking about crud.
Vic, how long have you had this car?
Oh, I'm going on 10 years now.
Okay. And obviously you didn't build it. You bought it this way?
No, bought it done. Somebody needed money in a pinch. Right time, right place, right number.
Right. That's it. Well, that's it. You inherit the good and the bad from other people's workmanship, you know?
Right.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but he did recently did an engine on the car. That's the crate motor. That was a recent installation.
Okay.
But I'll tell you, what a job to do stuff on that car. Because you have to pull the radiator, you have to pull the nose off that thing, basically.
Really? Yeah. Oh, it's have to do anything.
It's a full nosed car. Okay.
I'm thinking
it was open like most 32s. Okay. No. All right. So yeah, the sheet metal. Then you find out like were the hardware choices right? Did the guy use washers or bottle caps or body shims? Or, you know, the first time I got my car back from the body shop when they did the rough body work, and they did some assembly, but I'm doing the rest of the assembly, and I'm trying to take some stuff off that they had put on. Like, how come my tools aren't working? Like, they used metric fasteners. It's like I had all the American stuff there, and why they use metric? Because it's a modern body shop, and that's all they have is metric. So that's kind of like the running joke now. It's like, you know.
So what are you doing? You pulling all the metric fasteners off and replacing them with the American, with the SAEs? Or
oh, hell yeah, yeah. Oh, so I had all the original stuff, and I bought a whole kit of replacement black oxide coated bolts for the front of the car, for the whole front end, because they rust. I saved most of the originals. I was able to, you know, tumble them and then bead blast them and paint them. Now I have two sets, but yeah, I just bought the replacement set for $60. It was a smart way to go. But
sometimes it's easy to go that route. This way you know what you got, what you're doing.
But that's what I'm saying. Until you've touched it and had your hands on it, you don't know what it is, and you can't, you know.
When you send a car to a high-end shop and you buy a crate motor and they do the install, there should be no issues. You should get the car back, turn the key, and drive it.
Correct.
Yeah, there should be.
the operative word, should.
Now, you see, that there are other facets. If you could see what's behind John. John's building a Camaro in his garage right now, and it is – I mean, John had a chassis shop years ago, so he knows how to do this stuff. This is a high-end build being done in a garage at a house.
Right.
So you have to know who you're working with. And it pays to vet out the people. But, you know, the only thing I could say is if you're going to go to a shop, talk to people or look online and see what people say about the service they got.
That's what I did. This shop, I'm not going to name. They're going to go nameless. They're a high-end shop. They're not in New York. That came highly recommended from a crew member of a funny car team.
Oh, okay. All right.
So felt pretty confident sending the car there, but things happen, I guess.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, and something like a coolant leak too. I don't know if that could be really blamed back on them years going back. I mean, sure. Things happen, you know, components can fail. So,
again, it's water under the bridge now. Hopefully Project Paul helped me out. We got it fixed. Hopefully there'll be no more leaks.
Right.
Wait, he's done. It's no more Pirate Paul. Pirate Paul has left.
Get out of town.
He'll always be Pirate Paul to us.
Yeah.
All right, gentlemen, I will let you get back to your broadcasting. And you guys have a wonderful Easter.
All right, Vic, thanks.
Vic, happy Easter.
Thank you.
And I will talk to you later. I'll get you later.
Yeah.
All right. Talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, fellas, I tell you what we're going to do. We're at the bottom of the hour. We're going to take a break. We'll play a couple spots here, and then we'll come back and finish up with more of the Easter version of Motormouth Radio with your host, Ray Guarino, co-host Chris Switzer. We have Pirate Paul. He's still Pirate Paul to us. Always will be. And we have John, who's being quiet, but we'll get him talking a little bit.
Sure.
And we'll be back in a couple minutes on 90.3 WHPC.
Shake off the realities of the day, broaden your musical horizons, and embrace the diversity every Monday afternoon at 5 for 2 hours of Revelations. The show offers a potently unique collection of music with an emphasis on themes and rock rarities. An occasional tour de force of blues and soul mixed with compelling sets of folk and folk rock. I'm Steve Kay, and I've got the perfect soundtrack for your drive home every Monday afternoon at 5. On Revelations, right here on the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
This show on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by CARSTAR Celebrity Chase Collision, with two locations in Lynbrook and Oceanside, who remind you that New York State law says you always have the right to choose which shop you want to have your car fixed at. CARSTAR Celebrity Chase Collision offers a full range of services, 24-hour towing between Montauk and Manhattan, shuttle service, and they can help you with a rental car arrangement if needed. And yes, se habla español. More information is available by calling 516-593-0920 or visiting online at celebritychasecollision.com.
Coming up at 12 o'clock today, Sunday, Motor Mouth Radio, Ray Guarino, Joe D, talking about cars. And like I said, you don't have to know anything about cars to enjoy the show. People watch cooking shows, don't know how to cook. People watch those home repair shows, they don't know how to fix anything. So Motor Mouth Radio is the same thing. Think about it that way.
This is Dennis Pitzenberger from Sticker Shock, and if you're not listening to Motor Mouth Radio, boy, you are lost in the smoke of the burnout. Make sure to tune in each and every week, because these guys are exactly what you want to hear. Real car guys, real talk, every single weekend.
All right, you're back with Motor Mouth Radio, Ray Guarino, Chris Switzer. We have Pirate Paul and Chassis John. And you want to get into fun with us, you can give us a call today. We're doing something different. We've hijacked some phone lines. The number is 516-256-9510. And you can actually get in and talk with us on this fine Sunday and ask us about our projects or what the heck else we're doing. So
Easter Sunday.
Yeah, it is Easter Sunday, yes.
Mm-hmm. So don't lay an egg.
Yeah, right. Pump, pump.
So I asked Chris, I think I heard on one of the shows you were going to the Chrysler Nationals now.
I went in July. I went over to Chrysler's at Carlisle.
Yeah.
And I have to laugh because everything I saw and everything I bought was broken. Everything.
I picked up
stuff and looked at it and went, this is broken. All right, don't buy it. Okay, fine, put it down. And I go and pick up something and go, does this work? Well, this may be broken. All right, I'll buy it. Yeah, what a great deal. I'll buy it. It may be broken.
It becomes the lesser of the evils as to how broken it is,
right?
Repaired, right? Or fixed. You know, what kind of stuff were you talking about, Chris?
Oh, I was looking for dopey stuff. Basically, Paul, I don't know. My mantra is, if I find a vehicle, I like to option it out with whatever the options were that came with the car at the time.
Yeah, sure.
So what's nice is that Chryslers are easy. You know this. It's easy to option the car out, because a lot of those components were just bolt right in. There was really no customization to most of their options. So for example, an AM/FM radio, I found one at Carlisle, and of course I go to test it and it's broken.
Right. Did you buy it?
Yeah, totally.
What's that?
Oh, yeah, I got it. I have it. I just have to figure out now who to send it to.
It shouldn't be that tough to fix it.
Yeah, no, it really isn't. And it's just a matter of opening it up and actually going through the motions of doing the test and finding where the problems lie.
Right.
But it's either that or it's like, is that another project? Do I have to put that up right next to where I'm fixing the weed whacker and also fixing the swimming pool pump or fixing whatever it is? So it's, do I want another project or do I just want to go and find a working radio?
Right.
Spend the money.
That's a trick. Are you going to find a working radio?
That is the trick. And right. The answer so far is no.
Right. But are kind of hen's teeth-ish.
Yeah, they really are. And this is the funny thing I found about Chryslers. And just to get the old crying towel out for a second, but I found that the company puts together cars pretty much with a hammer and a soldering iron and some duct tape. And that's coming out of the factory because I have seen some stuff in this thing. Now I'm basically a GM guy. So this is my first foray into really digging into a Chrysler deeply. And I've just found that it's just the engineering is just atrocious on some of the builds on these things are just awful. The parts come out, the plastic is cheap. You can tell bean counters were all over this car, and just to try and get everything to fit correctly has been a challenge. So to the extent, so I'm still trying to figure out why these cars are worth so much. Not mine, yours.
Right. Well,
still trying to figure this out.
Well, they were all built the same. It's, you know what it is? It's that love of the car, and it's right. Remembering what you had in high school or what your older brother or dad had.
Ray, I don't think they're all built the same. I got to ask John. John, can you chime in on this? I mean, you know, probably.
I'm a GM guy, but there's a handful of Chryslers that I would kill for.
Oh, no, don't get me wrong. They're great cars. I mean,
the way they were constructed.
True.
I see some, I don't know, what do you call it? Lower class techniques, you know, like first example, they're high back bucket seats.
Right.
There's like no support in them at all. It's just a taller seat with some foam rubber and some vinyl pulled around it.
That's a great point.
You know, yeah. Whereas GM or Ford would go in and they would stitch in, you know, pleats and panels. Mm-hmm. They're very simple. They're utilitarian. You know what I'm saying?
That's a great word.
When you get cars that have rubber floor mats instead of carpet, what do you expect? You know, I mean, they were cutting costs.
No, so it's true.
I guess they were just a more affordable brand. I don't know, but they had some awesome stuff that they came out with, you know?
Oh, yeah, completely. But there are some things like, for example, small, stupid stuff like the ashtray. Like an ashtray on any GM vehicle usually slid out. It had a certain quality to it. On this car, on this Chrysler, which is supposed to be a high-end vehicle, the ashtray looks like it came out of a Polara cab. It's like clank.
It's the same ashtray.
It closes like a soup can. You know, it's just got this. Yeah.
You got to put that rubber bumper in there, the rubber bump stop.
They're in there.
No, they would do stuff like using, like nylon slides, whereas GM would go with a set of ball bearings and a key.
Right.
Yeah.
Just a little bit different.
You know, these cars were made and produced to be sold and last a warranty and then be traded in and scrapped. You know, when I got my Pontiac, it was 10 years old and it already had rust on it. You know, rust in the quarters at 10 years old because the car was driven in the snow and the rain and all of that.
Sure, it was a regular car.
You know, I mean, that's one that survived and got taken care of and now is being rebuilt. Many others didn't. And I was just talking with someone yesterday about a car that they friends of theirs had got that was rusted so bad. I mean, cowl rust, firewall rust, and the guy's restoring it. Oh. It's like, damn, those are cars that would have been passed over 10 and 15 years ago. And now guys are – the Chevelle I'm working on. I've always said if anybody but other than the guy who owns it was restoring this car, they would have passed on it. They would have picked it for whatever parts they could get and scrapped the rest because you couldn't afford to pay a body shop to do the work, the metal work. You probably couldn't do it at home. It just so happens the guy who owns the car owns a body shop, so you know, he can do that.
None of the brands are infallible. When I bought my first 1970 Formula 400 in 1978 from the original owner, the paint was bubbling behind the wheels down at the lower part of the quarter panels.
Right.
The water gets in there. There was some rust starting to form on rocker panels. And we're talking about a car that was 8 years old.
Same thing.
Went through, you know, 8 New York winters, and look, it's already starting to fall apart.
Right.
Nobody knew that these cars were going to be worth something someday.
Right.
Yeah. My brother bought his Charger, 69 Charger. He bought that car in 1976. And same thing, quarters are starting to rust on the bottom.
Right.
You know, I don't even
want to raise the sore spot of a certain Dodge in Plymouth that was in your stable. I won't even do that to you. But case in point, who thought these cars would be so valuable? Back then, they were just drivers. They were commodities. And, you know, it was an oddball thing almost because you're driving a car that wasn't a Camaro or a Firebird or a Mustang, something everybody else drove. Today, different story. Yeah. But anyway, if you have a car story like that, you want to talk about it, give us a call at 516-256-9510, and we will certainly entertain that conversation.
See, people don't have this number in their speed dial yet.
I know, and it's not in the memory. It's not that fluid coming off. Mm-hmm. You know, we got to do this whenever we do our fundraisers. We have a separate number we have to give for the fundraising. So it's but people catch on. People aren't that bright.
Put it in your speed dial.
Yes. Right? Also, like I said, I wanted to mention, because everything is going on, you know, they pushed Englishtown back.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Englishtown has a new date now. It's May 15, 16, and 17.
Correct. So we can get that faucet we were looking for.
Right. Yeah. Do you need socks?
Yeah. Or the washing machine.
Washing machine. I need more work pants. I buy my work pants there every year.
Dude, I'm wearing them now. Look, I'm wearing them now.
There you go.
I'm not wearing pants now.
It's sad, though, how much that's shrinking.
Yeah, I know.
It's sad.
Not you, Chris.
Englishtown looks today.
Yeah, that's true, John. That's true.
I can ever go back there again. I would just be so disgusted with what happened.
Oh, yeah. It's.
Oh, I know who this is.
Englishtown used to be the greatest place in the world to buy and sell parts. It was because there was no eBay, there was no internet at the time, so it was the place.
Chris, we have another caller. We have a fish on the line. Caller, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hey guys, me Rob. How you doing?
Couldn't stay away. What's up, Rob?
You want to talk? Hey guys, how you doing? You want Happy Easter, first of all.
Happy Easter,
Rob.
Thank you. You want to talk car stories? I think with the Model A. I mean, that was an absolute wreck when I picked it up. You know, but after all these years restored, we drive it around. The Mustang, that was, you know, the guy from my wife, that was a little bit of a different story. It had all the typical rust and rot and whatever have you, but that was still being used, you know, when I picked it up, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's in the garage now. The pretty much the entire thing is ready to go. I'm just in the trunk in the quarter panel area now, fixing that up. You know, what was
right now?
Right now, yeah.
I just got to tell you one thing, Rob. You should know that Paul right now is our phone screener and our phone. He's handling the phone call. So the fate of this call is up to him.
Right. He let you up.
If you get dumped, you know why.
Okay. Yeah, well, yeah, believe me, I know why. So anyway, that being the case.
So don't go long, Rob.
Yeah, I got you. The car is almost ready to go. All right. I'm working in the trunk in the quarter panels now. Engine's on the stand. Okay, I just got to do a rebuild on that, but that goes pretty quick. Everything in the undercarriage is all done. New suspension and all that stuff, brakes and whatever, brake lines and everything. All right, so it's just a matter of finishing up on the quarters and then sending it out for paint. Or maybe I'll paint it myself in a driveway. I don't know, and then we'll take it from there. The Model A just went undergone a complete redo. And it started off with just working on the clutch shaft and the worn bushings on the clutch shaft. It ended up being a complete transmission rebuild, a complete rear axle rebuild, complete brake rebuild all around, and new drums, new water pump, tune-up, and a freshening up on the paint on the motor.
And
new wheels, too. So, you know, what started off with about a $50 job blossomed to, I don't know, about a $4,000 job. But the car looks great, runs great, and it actually stops now.
Runs and stops. That's a plus.
But there you go. And those are and of course the boat too, you know. So
the other thing about that, Rob, the point about that I like is that it was about 2 months ago or so we were doing the show and we were talking about bearings, I think, which you called in and talked about. And then you needed a bearing, and you found him at the local auto parts store here by my house, who is an independent guy. And I just want to tip the hat to the independent guys because they often have the stuff that the Auto Zones and the Advanced Autos don't carry and don't know what it is.
Well, he knew exactly what I was talking about, which was good, you know. And we had a very nice conversation after the fact, and, you know, and he's going to be my go-to guy going forward with, you know, with parts for the older cars.
Absolutely. Right.
But, Rob.
You know what they're talking about.
Yes. Rob, I got to ask you a question. Yes. I'm the only one that can ask you this question. You know that, right?
Oh, no, I know.
I know what's coming. Go ahead.
All right. I know you have a boat, but how's your Johnson?
My Johnson is dead.
Oh, boy.
What?
You need some pills, brother.
I replaced my Johnson with an Evinrude E-Tech a couple of years back.
You had a dead Johnson you didn't tell us?
Yes, I had a dead Johnson. It was looking kind of flaccid, so I had to get rid of it and myself and Everett. Look at that, will you? And you're right, Chris. You're the only guy that can ask me that question.
And I had a smile on my face when I did it.
I'm sure you did. Yeah.
Well, thank you for the update.
Best thing I ever did, though, was replace the motor. I put a new E-Tech on it. Oh, let me tell you. Oh, my God. The thing, huge difference. I mean, economy, power. You know, the fuel-injected engines, it's the way to go, without a doubt. You know? Mm-hmm. After the third rebuild on my motor, I was like, all right, it's time. You know? But, one more thing before I go, I just want to mention to you guys, Ray, I mentioned this to you a little bit earlier, is that in June 30th, that there's going to be the Jalopy Dash Drags at Tully Park in New Hyde Park,
right?
Fireman training area, all right? It's being sponsored by the Cowneck Peninsula Historical Society. A bunch of, old-time, drag racers will be out there. There's a stock class, and, of course, I'll be racing my Model A in the stock 4 fender class.
That's awesome.
Go online. I'm sorry?
No, that's cool. Awesome. That's neat. It's almost like when at the bike events, they do the slow races, It's kind of like the same thing.
That's almost what this is. But let me tell you something. I mean, the stock cars, like the four bangers, I'm in the banger class, the four fender banger class.
Right.
Obviously it's going to be a fairly slow type of thing, relatively speaking, but you do have cars like Steedsters. A couple of my friends, in particular, a father and son team, they built a pair of Model A Speedsters, which have all of period correct, hot rod, tricks on it and whatever have you. Wow. And they're pretty damn fast. And they also built hand-built Speedster bodies, and they really came out nice,
It's something cool.
I'm starting to get into more. I'm probably going to end up building a Speedster. We'll see what happens. But it should be a really good show, and there's also a car show attached to that, too, in conjunction with Bronx Mopars. So you'll see some really cool old iron over there. That's June 30th at Tully Park at the Fireman Training Area.
Okay, Rob. Well, thanks for the info. Thanks for the call, and we'll be in touch.
Great. Guys, have a great afternoon, and again, happy Easter to you all.
Thanks, Rob. See you along.
Bye-bye.
All right. And if you want to be like Rob, you can give us a call at 516-256-9510. You got Ray Guarino, Chris Switzer, got Pirate Paul, we got Chassis John, and we all need cool nicknames, Chris. We don't really
We can't self-appoint them, though. That's the only thing. You can't have self-appointed nicknames.
That's right. So, John, I saw you smile when Rob was talking about boats. I know you were smiling. You'll have a... Actually, Tom is trying to call the show, Tom from Massapequa, but he's calling the cell phone. He's not calling the alternate number. Tom, 516-256-9510. That answers one question. The other cell phone number does not transfer, which is good to know, Paul. That saves you a lot of grief.
Yes,
sir.
All right. Yes.
That sure does. So there's a lot of boating out down in Florida, obviously, going on.
I was out yesterday.
Oh, you were. That's right. We were talking about this last week. You were out.
We went out yesterday, 2 weeks
ago. What size boat do you have, John? How big of a rig is it?
It's a 20-foot Tahoe.
Okay.
And it's got 150 horse Merc.
Nice.
Cool. Yeah. Very good.
Good boat. Quick, too. Light and quick.
That's nice.
Very nice. Do you do your own work to it, or I'm sure you probably do, but sometimes a lot of guys that are in your business probably don't. They kind of like farm them out.
We bought it 2 years ago, and I got one of those extended warranty contracts, and I just drag it back to the shop.
Yeah.
And they take care of it, and then I bring it back to where it's got to go.
I believe it, because you would automatically assume.
I had a boat when I lived on Long Island. And I'm like, ay, ay, ay. My wife calls it the old scow.
Yeah. She was talking about you, John.
I kind of got forced into it. Good friend of mine has a.
You got a call. I was not paying attention.
Are we on line with Tom?
Yes.
Okay. Hi.
Tom. Hey, you're out the Motormouse, Tom. Chris, Ray, John, and Paul.
What's up, Tom?
Thank you very much for doing the show and connecting me through. You must have a low tolerance for people that could get screened. I don't know what your criteria is, but I got through.
Now, you happen to know the right number. That's what it was.
Come on. You're Motormouth radio royalty.
Listen, you could have misdialed and got in just as easy.
Hey, guys, really, thank you, and happy Easter to everyone, and God bless, and be safe. But I got a couple of Chrysler things to share with you might like.
Sure.
I hope they're parts, because Chris needs them.
I could use
them. Well, it's funny. That's good. One of my things. All right, it's not parts. Here's the thing. I just wanted to tell everybody, in the last 6 months, I rented a car in Greensboro, North Carolina, and it was a high-performance Challenger, and it was fun to drive, and it brought back my youth. So if anyone doesn't know about this and doesn't have the money to buy their own car or performance, you could rent these. It was like a 396 Challenger that was souped up with like 400 horsepower, and they had a bunch of them, and they may have them around here.
I think that's a 392.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was great. It sounded great. It drove great. I had it for 4 days. And it was like $30 a day or four. It was nothing. Have you ever heard about this in the fleet? Budget, I think.
Oh, yeah. It'll get you locked up faster than some of the stuff we were talking about before the show. But because you're a gentleman of a certain age with a good driving record, you can get that car for $30 a day. See if your son can get that.
Yeah,
I doubt it.
Right. If he can get the car at all, if it's offered to him. Probably not.
Yeah. What's it called? What's the model, guys? Is it a 392 Challenger? Is there a special code besides the 392?
No, 392 is the size of the engine. That's the and they use that because that was the size of the old, like the middle. As far as Hemis go, that was the one that became most prominent with drag racers and all. There was ones before it, and then the 426 was after it, but they kind of brought that back as a legacy thing. So, I don't think it was a Hellcat. You probably just had a Challenger. Maybe it was an SRT. I don't know.
There's only so many of them.
Yeah.
There's so many renditions of the car.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I got to tell you, but it was definitely high performance. Okay. You know, compared to a rental car, but it was so much fun and it looked sharp and they had a bunch of them. And I think they rent them in various places. They're part of the fleet. And honestly, when I returned the car, I was trying to, you know, I got some stories out of the guy, and he said he's seen one guy wreck it within a mile of leaving the rental place.
That's probably a Hellcat.
That's a dumbass.
I don't know. But anyway, okay, so that's part of my story I wanted to share with the crowd. The other thing is I had a 63 Dodge Dart, free on the tree or whatever you call it. It was a Slam 6. It was great. And it had rust through the back of the floors. People, you know, they joked that they could stop the car like Fred Flintstone.
Right.
I had one of them.
You did?
Yeah. We all had cars like that.
Well, I had a 64 Dart 3 on a tree.
I think everybody did. It was like a rite of passage.
Right.
Yeah. The other question I got is a separate question. My son has some work to do on his Lincoln. Do you know if parts are going to be available? Like, are the parts stores open and stuff in general? Like, I want to ask you that before you started working on it.
What year Lincoln is it, Tom?
In 06.
Oh, yeah. It's a more modern car. Yeah. You know, local parts stores, I've been seeing they're doing a thing. Some of them are, you know, only a few customers at a time in the store. Some will bring the parts out to you. There's always Rock Auto. You could do it online as well, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
A lot of chain stores are doing curbside service, too.
Yeah, the thing is, instead of assuming you can do it, like, on the spot, give yourself some leeway and lead time if you can. I think that's the best way to go.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you very much, guys.
Yeah. All right, Tom. Thanks for calling. It was a pleasure talking to you, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Same here. Shout out to Joe D. How's he doing?
Joe's doing great, and he forwarded his best wishes, and he hisses about you. He says, "How's Tom doing?" So, yeah, everything is good. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, Tom.
Be safe, Tom.
So long. All right, we're in the last half a segment of this show. There's still time to get in on it. 516-256-9510 with Ray Guarino, Chris Switzer, Pirate Paul, and Chassis John. We're all having a good time here. It's
get in on the fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's for sure. I didn't have the Dart. I had a Valiant. I had a 67 Valiant for a very short period of time. It was an old phone company like staff car. It was olive green with the black cab interior. That leather, that whatever, that it wasn't even leather, far from it. It was
pleather,
that plastic, whatever it was, and rubber floor mats. It was great. Did donuts with it in the high school parking lot. It was awesome.
I told a story. I had a Dart for a weekend. A friend of mine at work, it was a 68 with a 273. Nice running car, but he blew a head gasket, and he was the kind of guy, he would do a tune-up and brakes, but he didn't go any further than that. So he says, "Yeah, I'm going to get rid of the Dart. What's the matter? Head gasket." Yeah, you know what? I told him, I'll take it. I figured I'll flip it, right? So he drove it to my house Friday afternoon, took his plates. I drove him back to his place. He puts his other car on the road. And Saturday after work, I'm like, yeah, you know what? Let me go to the point. Let me get a set of head. Let me get some gasket kit for this thing. Maybe I'll start it. Next thing you know, pull it apart, do both head gaskets, put it back together, go to work Monday. And he asked me if I was good, did anything with the car. And I said, yeah, it's done. What do you mean it's done? Fixed. I fixed it. Put the head gaskets in. Really? How's it run? It runs great. Wouldn't you know, he came back to the house. He liked it. He bought it back. Bought it back for me. Basically, for the cost of what it cost. You know, I only charged him for what the job would have cost. I said, you know, you could have saved yourself a lot of grief if you would have just asked me to fix the car for you.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I never drove it. I just I owned it, technically, but yeah.
That's hysterical.
Yeah.
Paul, what was the shortest amount of time you ever owned a car?
The shortest time?
Shortest time.
Probably a day or two.
A day?
Yeah, a day or two.
John, how about you?
My first car, 6 months.
Okay. Oh, wow. 6 months. I had a car one night.
Well, yeah.
One night.
It got wrecked, not by myself.
Oh, that'll do it.
Yeah.
What kind of car was it, John?
73 Vega GT.
Nice.
There you go.
Looked like a miniature Camaro that somebody washed and put in the dryer in the trunk.
Trunk. See now on
have with the stick shift?
Yeah, it was that aluminum four cylinder with the four speed and
Wow.
Yeah.
Had that big fat white rally stripe up the hood and then down the hatchback.
Yeah, no, I had a bunch
and
of Vegas.
You looked at that car from the front. That was the image of a Camaro.
Yeah, it was the mini Camaro.
The full bumper, the large central grill. Mm-hmm. It was a mini Camaro.
Yeah, that's what the market was for that car.
Some guy got out of control and on Jericho Turnpike in the rain and drove into me head on. I had nowhere to go.
Wow, you're lucky. You know, on the show Iron Resurrection, Joe Martin and his guy.
Yeah, I saw that.
They just took a Vega wagon and they actually chopped it a little bit. They contoured the roof and they put, you know, a blown small block in it. And I mean, they really literally gutted this car. It was like just a shell, not even half a shell of a Vega left, but it came out real nice.
Yeah.
Good job.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah. I had a 71 or 72 Vega wagon. Okay. Mm-hmm. And on the early Vegas, they didn't use a GM, the Saginaw four speed. They used an Opel four speed. Transmission.
Oh boy, yeah. That was.
Yeah, and the funniest thing was most of the Vegas had the gas fill on the side. The early wagons had it behind the license plate. It was great. I used to pull into gas stations. The guy would walk around the car trying to find a gas fill.
Oh yeah,
it was funny. It was funny. You know. Yeah.
I had a teenage kid, and I pulled the 300 into a gas station, dropped the plate, and started filling it. And he was walking by me, and he looked like he's like, "Is that where you put gas in it?" I go, "Yeah, that's where it is."
It's a good thing you didn't have a 56 Chevy, huh?
Yeah, or a 53 Caddy.
That gets them all the time.
That's too funny.
Yeah, scream. But, yeah. Wow. But yeah, that's they don't put I never understood why they don't put the filler behind the plate. There must be some sort of safety issue that's gone along with it. But
I'm sure.
My Pontiac has it behind the plate. And the thing I like is you can go to a pump on either side.
Sure.
You don't have to stretch the hose. It's in the middle.
Mm-hmm. Right. You just know. Have to crouch.
And then, of course, Chrysler's, when they did it, when they put theirs on the side, the filler tube goes through the trunk. So it actually impedes putting stuff in the trunk.
That's another thing.
Yeah.
You know, excuse me, I didn't build these things.
No. And the bigger problem, though, is when that little piece of neoprene, of the rubber, it's not neoprene, it's the hose rated. The fuel-rated hose degrades, you could actually fill your trunk with gas. It's just like filling the car, you know?
Well, nowadays with the ethanol, I could see that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, absolutely. I mean, back in the day, I mean, it caused some of those charges. I mean, very old. Those things, I mean, aside from getting hard, they really didn't break.
Right.
Oh, the engine transmissions were super durable. The engine in this thing is awesome. Right. And I haven't even dropped the transmission for
it. What do you got, 440 in that?
No, it's just a 383.
383. Okay.
Guys, we got to wrap. We're at the end of the show, and we're going to get out of here. We're gonna do it. So I thank, of course, Chris, Paul, and John for coming on today, and Jim for helping out with our stuff before the show. That's it for a wrap. Motor Mouth Radio. Chris, what do you say?
Don't follow us home.
90.3 WHPC. Thanks, guys. We'll see you next week.